Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Hola, Alan.
It's been so long, Brendan. It is great to see you, or virtually see
Wait,
you.
Wait, you get see me? I don't have a camera. That's creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the NSA does crazy things, and anyway.
Wait, what?
Where have we all been?
Are you the mole?
No, unfortunately. I wish that'd be, then I'd probably have, like, you know, all sorts of cool tech, and I,
Are you this podcast Nina?
I am operating a Mac right now, so if I switch to a Dell, it'd be bad.
That's a deep 24 cut for you. Real deep. That's over a decade old.
Yeah, really. So how have you been, Brendan? I know how I've been.
Well, I've been sick, which is why we didn't get to record last week. But yeah, I'm back, and what did not kill me has only made me stronger.
Yeah, I was also sick briefly. In amongst that, I was also in Las Vegas, which I believe caused me to be sick.
It's a land of sickness.
We were talking, I think, last week about how, or not last week, the last show, about how the longest I'd ever been in Vegas was 3 days, and I was going to be there 6. And sure enough, on like day 4, like my body just rebelled. Like I didn't want to drink anything anymore. I actually developed a sty in my eye. Like I started coughing and losing my voice. It was kind of a like rough trip. I think for the most part, the trip was successful. We kind of did what we were gonna do, but. Yeah, I'm so glad to be back in beautiful California. I did have a couple interesting kind of things to relate. So the first thing that I thought was interesting about was about the timing of the conference. So we were in Vegas the second like full week of January. Which this year was right after CES, so none of that gadget stuff was around. And right before the SHOT Show, which is the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show. And it's also the week of the Adult Entertainment Expo, which famously has the Adult Video News, the porno awards at the end of it. So our week was like the quiet week in between those two. So it was actually fairly quiet. I mean, it's January, so it's nice and cold, and all of the none of the tourists are out. So it was just like me and a bunch of like salespeople and conventioneers, and I seriously had to get out of town. So I took a trip up to the downtown area, the old town for Vegas, where like the big neon cowboy is, and the Four Queens, and I went to Main Street Station, which is kind of an older casino, and they have a some craps tables, and I play craps, and so the big deal was that at that craps table it's a $5 minimum, so it's a lot. You know, if almost everywhere on the strip, it's at least $10 and up. So your money lasts roughly twice as long if you're pretty conservative about it. What was interesting was as soon as I started playing at a table where I'm easily the youngest person by a factor of 2, one of the guys in the tracksuits throwing the dice, you know, hits his point, and so, you know, the table kind of cheers. And the guy next to me leans over and tells me that guy was at the table the previous night and did so well, he tipped out 10 grand.
Whoa.
At that point, I decided maybe I'll stick around for a little bit. and thus began the longest winning streak I've ever had at craps. It was a fine day. But it was also just nice to get out of the strip and out of the really kind of glitzy tourist area and into
the old, not so glitzy tourist area.
Right. I mean, it was, I think a little maybe more old school. I mean, certainly old school, like, section of Vegas. What was interesting was I walked past the Fremont Street Experience, the on the other side of that, and there is a district of town there called Fremont East, and I want to say it's two blocks where there isn't a casino. It's just bars and restaurants, and it was pretty cool. There was a place I stopped in for a drink, and I unfortunately can't remember the name, but it was a Brewcade, so like a microbrewery slash arcade. And I would have stayed longer, but they were setting up for a band, and I didn't want to pay the cover, even though I had just won like five times my buy-in over at the at the craps table. I had a schedule, okay? I had places to be. So, but I highly recommend taking a side trip down to, you know, not necessarily the Fremont Street area specifically, but the downtown around it, so the California Hotel, Main Street Station, it's just, you know, a different flavor over there. Unfortunately, one of those flavors is smoke, so if you're sensitive to smoke, you know, brief stay. You're right, that's probably the better.
What are you doing in Vegas? That's the question.
Well, what's one thing that's interesting in Vegas, and I read this, unfortunately, as I was leaving, is that Las Vegas, well, Nevada in general, I guess the way the state constitution is written and how laws can be enacted, a majority of people do want to legalize marijuana in Nevada, but the way the laws work, they actually can't begin to do that until 2016. But what they could do is they opened it up, so supposedly, and I want to say it took effect this year, but I, you know, I have no way to take advantage of it. But they allow reciprocity, so if in your state you can get marijuana legally, you can get it in Nevada. So it opens up weed tourism.
Huh.
Ooh, excuse me. So, speaking of kind of weed tourism, you found a story about Colorado.
Yeah, it's been a year since weed was legalized in Colorado. And before it happened, there was a lot of hemming and hawing and concern about what was going to happen to society, and was crime going to go crazy, and was everybody going to die?
And think about the children. What about the children?
Yeah, think of the children. As George Carlin famously said, fuck the children. the Colorado police, or Denver police, said that nothing's changed. They're year in. They do their job the same. There's not been an increase in crime. All that's happened is there's been lots of job creation and millions of dollars of tax revenue.
Yeah. It sounded like crimes were actually down. Pretty much across the board, which I think is hilarious. Well, I mean,
we were right.
Right. Goes to show, right? The tide's probably turning on that one. Another one that the tide is turning on, I'm pretty sure we can claim credit for this one too. This is the Marriott chain of hotels. We reported that, well, reported makes me sound like we're journalists.
We reported on a report. Yeah, there were some kind of jumped up journalist podcast.
We repeated a story that we read about the Marriott chain of hotels moving to block Wi-Fi, personal Wi-Fi, and just this last week they've backed off that. They're still, I believe, petitioning the FCC regarding how they enforce Wi-Fi security around, but I think that's mostly a play to try and get around that, what was it, $600,000 fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, blocking Wi-Fi, not a thing. Legalization of marijuana seems to be a thing. And kind of rounding out the things that
I told you so segment of the podcast.
It's so much more fun than what the other running sections of the podcast that we have. Although this also fits the fuck the police section of the podcast. So we're coming back around to asset forfeiture and that whole process that the police used to do or did do, where they would seize property that was peripherally related to a crime, whether the person was convicted or not, and then turn those things into things they could sell, which then essentially increased budgets, and police departments would actually budget for a certain amount of forfeiture that would happen, which kind of creates a conflict of interest. It's like, does that mean they are seeking things to seize? And apparently we weren't the only ones that thought that was a little weird and shady. So the Attorney General said he's ending the plan that was called equitable sharing, which was the federal allowance or adoption of state and local governments or state and local police to do forfeiture agreements. So
that again, gravy train is gone.
Yeah, I think the only things that the forfeiture still applies to is like firearms and
explosives,
and
child pornography, which that's fine. Take all those things. Those are things police should be taking from people.
Right, right.
Not the $3 billion they've taken over the last 6 years of citizens' stuff and money.
Yeah, so I think,
Which John Oliver had a great segment on his show about it. But I maybe we should give him some more credit, but I take at least partial credit.
Sure. Not a Thing podcast, changing hearts and minds, one listen at a time. So let's see.
Everything's coming up podcast.
So it's actually been good to podcast again. It's been 2 weeks, and we picked a pretty good night for it. The State of the Union address, the second to last one, I believe, that Obama's going to do, was tonight, and I think he knocked it out of the park. He did a great job. I mean, as they sound, I mean, they always sound a little, you know, they're idealistic and they're big broad strokes, and they're kind of, you know, what's the word? They can sound a little tone deaf for what's happening now. And I think this was one of the best ones I've heard. It's just really, really well kind of written and really inspiring. I don't think there was a lot to specifically argue on. Now you can look at the other side of that and say there wasn't a lot of direct substance about like specific kind of topics or things. And I think
There's some plans that are gonna get supposedly put together. That would be good. I always feel like when it's the State of the Union, you get excited and you build up all this hope. And then, you know, it's nice they do it in January, so you have the rest of the year to have that just eroded away when you see just Congress shitting all over themselves for the rest of the year. But I'm enjoying the moment now. Live in the moment, people.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Why? Don't worry about the future. That's future use problem.
Maybe write your congressman in the meantime, though.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
To bring back a... a pre-episode 100 kind of thing we used to say. one of the things that was in the State of the Union address was some notes about hacking and cybercrime and protecting civil liberties to some degree. And so the actual details of those proposals aren't really haven't officially been released, although there's been a lot of, you know, noise about what those could take effect as. And it seems like the majority of it is kind of stiffer penalties for cybercrime, and then possibly an upgrade of all hacking to more of a racketeering style prosecutionary like practice, which could mean that you can be kind of guilty by association of hacking, which I think is a little it's a little bit kind of dangerous of a slope to go down, because a lot of people that kind of comply in ethical hacking, or, you know, penetration testing or whatever you want to call it for securing companies, that looks like
actual penetration.
Yeah. That looks like hacking. It is hacking. And so I think the actions versus the intent have to be really examined a lot tighter. And I also just get really nervous when people that, you know, may not understand computers and hacking talk about computers and hacking. I mean, I don't think I've heard the word cyber or the prefix cyber attached to anything like serious in the last like 5 years. And yet we're talking about like cybercrime and cyber attacks. It's a little worrisome for me, especially because I think
part of Anonymous.
Well, I mean, a lot of it does affect how civil liberties work and how you know what your actions are and do. I mean, if they're going to have that information, or if they're going to prosecute based on that information, they have to have that information first, which means, are they monitoring like actions of things that people do, websites people go to, and basing decisions on that? And that's something that I consider not a thing. So that's stuff that we'll have to kind of keep an eye on. I'm sure more will come out of that. I think in general, the things about reporting large scale hacks in order to or reporting those things to the FBI in order to kind of correlate data about attack patterns or anything like that, I think that's a good idea, as long as they have the right people kind of looking at it to figure out kind of what's going on, because that does, you know, taking a more, you know, big data approach to what the problem is, I think will help kind of generate kind of solutions. Although I think some solutions are a little kind of further off. I mean, one of the other things that we found this week was a profile on a company that would sell bots or botnets in order to do denial of service attacks. And it's, excuse me, it's a little like, well, I mean, it's sad, first of all, that those things exist. But it goes to show that, you know, there's enough of a, you know, market demand, if you will, about, like, you know, being able to do harm to other people using the internet. And so finding ways to kind of mitigate that is a thing and should be a thing. So it was interesting to kind of look at what the mindsets were based on that case study, because one of the things was, it seems like a lot of it is just, you know, flooding a person's IP address so they can't use it. But what was interesting was how many were specifically targeting the ports for games. And even to the point where they were targeting, like, residential address, like, home IP addresses. So it's like, you know, if I lost at whatever, you know, whatever game is out there now, if someone could figure out my IP address, they would flood my, my internet connection. So, you know, the game would be unplayable to me. It's, It's kind of fascinating, but also really messed up. But being able to analyze and figure out where those things come from and how those things are generated, I think, is a step in the right direction. A better step, I think, would be some kind of larger program around preventing that kind of action. I mean, I don't mean necessarily like, closing ports or anything like that, or otherwise restricting traffic, but really treating the internet as a really a like a utility that has to be kind of protected in the same way. It's like it's like a road. It's like a it's like a water pipe. There are all of those things that were use as analogies, but we don't secure the internet in the same way that we secure like roads and electric wires and plumbing and things like that. So finding ways to build in protections for that, like detection of bots and suppression of malware and prosecution for those kinds of things, I think that could be something that could be investigated at least. Specifically saying or being so narrow as to say like hacking is illegal, I think is dangerous because of its the way it could be written, but making it less about kind of like an individual and more about kind of the mindset of what you're doing with it, I think it has more it could have more impact. Kind of to that end, I know the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has been kind of a big champion for cyber rights and net neutrality and a bunch of things. But what's funny, or maybe not that funny, is this week they released an app. So there's an app that they wanted to release to the Android and iOS kind of stores, and they got it into the Google Play Store, but the Apple Store required them to include some things as part of their contracts for creating apps, and one of those things is DRM, and the EFF is not surprisingly against DRM, and because of that could not put their app in the Apple App Store. So
No app for us.
yeah, I guess.
We don't get to EF app.
Do you ever do you pronounce EFF ever like EF like one word? I guess not.
F? No.
FAP.
FF.
FAP, that's what it would be. Not really.
Always, if anytime you put those letters near each other on the internet, someone's gonna get a chuckle.
And that someone is us.
Okay, someone, me, I will always chuckle. I can't speak for the internet. What am I talking about? I have a podcast. I do speak for the internet.
Yeah, we've been speaking for the internet for quite a while. It's, 124 and change episodes. It's good. It's good.
Easy as 1, 2, 4.
I'm hoping we can kind of keep the wellness and non-traveling, in a good way, and we can record regularly again. I know a couple people were asking me where my show was last week. One person who actually did record last week was I think did we talk about this? We had him on
I
the
think we did.
show, Vikas. His he has a soccer related podcast. It's I want to say the name is Red, White, and Brown, and it's talking about his he and his friend's favorite soccer team, which, Ooh, I can't remember which one it is, and if I say the wrong one, it'll be really bad.
I won't feel bad. It's like Chelsea or Arsenal, like that.
I think it was Arsenal. So let's just say it was Arsenal. And Vikas, if you're listening, sorry if it's not. But they do recordings every week. So maybe we'll link that over. That'd be kind of a nice thing to do. I don't know if he'll link us back. I'm not sure how much kind of crossover there is between football fans and not a thing podcast fans, but hopefully some. Maybe we'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess we could look at the numbers of listens from our episode that we dedicated to soccer. that's the most I'd ever talked about soccer. But it was fun. Yeah. I liked it. It was informative.
Yeah, so we wish them the best of luck. I think they're at episode 4 now for them, so you know, it's pretty rough, but they only have 120 to go to catch up with us.
Well, I think this is only the first week we've actually missed. This last week was the first week we've missed that wasn't a planned miss.
Yeah.
Like, we usually miss at Christmas, but every other week for the last 2.5 years now or whatever, we do it every week.
Yeah.
In some form.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we going to try and do like a makeup episode sometime, or?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know, who's keeping track, really, other than us? I feel like for a free podcast, we put out a lot of content.
Well, we'll do our best to keep it up. We'll keep the episodes going. Kind of much like how Peter Jackson is just keeping those movies going. God. So you saw The Hobbit this last week? Hobbit. What is the full title?
It's the Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Uh-huh.
Or as I think of it, The Battle Against My Childhood. If you had told me 2 years ago that The Hobbit was going to screw over my childhood memories worse than the Lego movie, I would not have believed you. But that is, in fact, the case.
Oh, my God.
I was so mad. And we started with such promise. We did a nice podcast with Tom about the first movie 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was great. You know, it really stuck to the book, and we were thinking, hey, they're really powering through this book. How are they going to keep it going? And then the second movie comes along and you start to see. And by the time you get to this third movie, it's based off. Someone told me it was like 35 pages of the book got turned into the movie. So an hour and 44 minute movie that 35 pages of the book. There's so much crap he made up. And there's so much CGI and plot holes. I think there's a reason that when Tolkien wrote the book, he left out the battle. Because it makes no sense. So, I mean, at this point, we're in spoiler territory. And I don't even care if I spoil this movie for you. This movie will spoil itself for you. Like, I haven't been this mad at a theater-going experience since I saw 300 Rise of an Empire.
Ooh.
Which I didn't want to see, but I saw anyways. It was just bloated scene after bloated scene stuck together with CGI. So much CGI.
Yeah, I feel like that was a complaint from even the first Hobbit movie, which I know when we were talking about it, I saw it. Did you see it in the high frame rate?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was well, one, that was completely unnecessary, and two, it just made the CGI look so obvious. And you'd think, given the amount of backlash there was about it, that would have been fixed. And I know for the second movie, it was not. I mean, there was clearly a lot of kind of random let's do a whole scene where, like, nothing is real. Not a thing is real in that scene.
Nothing is real in this movie. It all looks so fake. Like, they have Billy Connolly as one of the dwarves, as Dane the Dwarf.
Okay.
And he looks It's just like they superimposed his face. And I mean, there were a couple scenes I liked. There was a scene with they had a troll who they're using as a battering ram, who kind of knocks himself out when he's knocking down the door. Mm. That was pretty funny. He does ride a war pig, which was pretty great, because who doesn't like a war pig? But other than that, I'm angry. Yeah. I mean, Bilbo's in the movie for, I don't know, 15 minutes or whatever. I mean, it's probably longer than that, but he barely has anything to do in the movie. There's weird, like, dream drug freak-out sequences for Thor and Oakenshield. It's, Orlando Bloom looks like shit.
Yeah, the thing I heard for Orlando Bloom is that they added the blue in his eyes with CGI, and in the Lord of the Rings movies, they just used blue contacts, and it's like, yeah, okay, he wears blue contacts, no big deal. But I guess I'd read just one complaint, like it was turned way up for whatever reason. They decided to
looks way older.
Right.
I mean, I know this movie's supposed to take place more. He looks a lot, and he is a lot older. Yeah. He's got some weird Benjamin Button thing going on. But all the stuff that's written that they added in, like, it's not well written. It reminded me of the Star Wars prequels.
Oh.
It was like wooden acting,
mm-hmm,
and bad dialogue and shitty action.
That's really unfortunate that at least the action could be, you know, redeeming. But
well, the battle's going on. You've got orcs coming. You've got elves and dwarves fighting, and the men fighting, and they're all fighting the orcs. And for most of the movie, Thor and the crew are just sitting in the mountain, not fighting. And everyone's like, where are those guys? We're dying here.
Right.
And they're getting wiped out. And then finally they come in and, like, turn the tide of the battle. There's 11 people. How much? There's thousands of dwarves. There's thousands of elves. And there's 11 dudes. They're like, oh, this is going to change everything. They're the most badass dwarves ever.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're safe now. There's 11 more people to help us against this horde of terrible creatures. Yeah, it's that's my Hobbit rage for the year.
Okay.
I was so upset when I finished the movie that I came home and I watched Fellowship of the Ring. After watching a 2+ hour movie, I came home and watched a 3-hour movie to wash that out of my head, because it was so much more well made. Like, they can see the love put into it. You can see the quality. You can see just everything is so good. And this is just like a schlock fest. It's terrible.
Ugh. So unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, I knew the instant I was not recognizing things in the Hobbit movie, when they like introduced the kind of white orc that was the kind of bad guy orc. Mm-hmm. I knew it was like, this is weird. This isn't something they need to add into this. And yeah, it ended up being a lot, kind of the ratio of kind of stuff I remember and stuff that is completely weird and foreign to me just seemed to increase as the movie kind of went along. And I saw a meme, or, you know, it was something that they'd added kind of text to, and it's Legolas and the female elf kind of talking about how, you know, someone says, you know, this isn't our fight, and she's like, it is, and the meme text that they throw on top of it, it's like, no, it's not, because this didn't happen in the book. It's nobody's fight. And when you think about it, if you're going by The Hobbit as a book, I mean, The Hobbit as a book was meant to be kind of Bilbo's telling of a bunch of the story. So all the stuff that happens where Bilbo isn't there, that's stuff that they invented, because that's not stuff that he would have seen. And I can only imagine how much that is. There's so much.
Well, the thing that makes me more mad is that it could have been done in two movies. I think it is a little long for one movie. They would have had to cut stuff out, but you could have kept everything in, maybe added just a little, and made it a solid two regular length movies, not two Peter Jackson length movies.
And I know that the original intent was going to be that it was two movies.
Well, when Guillermo del Toro was in charge, that was the plan.
Yeah.
And then he had to bow out, and they brought Peter Jackson back, and he's like, all right, we're going to make three movies. Or I assume it was the studio, because this movie's made almost $1 billion, just this one.
Wow.
So, I mean, whatever they did from a financial standpoint for them, that worked out. But I think it's creatively bankrupt.
Well, I think they were
taking my money.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only reason I would watch the movie would be because I felt like I had to, because I was invested in seeing, you know, the first one, and I don't know, it is kind of a rough transaction, and I probably will still see it in theaters just to complete it, but it was. I'm not super
excited.
That's
why you want to go see a movie, is out of a feeling of obligation, not out of the joy of cinema, one of the greatest artistic endeavors created by humankind. No. It's because I need to finish it.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. Maybe I can get away with watching it at home. It'll be okay.
Well, at least it takes less time than some of the later seasons of 24, which I watched out of pure obligation.
Oh, I certainly watched Heroes to the very end.
Which they're bringing back.
Oh, God. No! No!
Yeah, wow. Heroes is coming back.
Oh, God. I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, they've got Zach Levi from Chuck is going to be in it.
Oh, man, that... The last, really everything but the first season of that show was so awful. Just truly, well and truly awful.
Maybe they'll learn from their mistakes. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't.
I'm no Heroes apologist. I fell off that train. I never even finished it.
It was a good call. Anyway. Cool. Good stuff, Brandon. Not bad. Not bad to get back in the show. It's a little kind of shorter, but I think it's good. We'd taken, you know, a week off because we were travel weary and sick. So it's good to kind of slowly ramp it back up into kind of full speed. So
we don't want to feel like the last Lord of the Rings and feel like we're doing this out of obligation.
Yeah,
because it's fun and this is the right length.
I think this next show that we catch on to, we'll have, you know, more to talk about. We're gonna we're getting into that time of year that we talked about, which is San Francisco Sketch Fest. So
my Christmas.
It's a lot of shows coming up, and we'll probably have a lot of kind of reports as we go along for that. So
well, I know we'll have it. I'll have been to at least two shows by the time we record again. So
yeah. I'm going to see one of those with you, right?
I know. I'm excited.
Excellent. Well, we'll have a nice, you know, podcast drink or something just before. We'll figure it out. All right, man. I will talk to you real soon, but then on the podcast, I will talk to you next week.
All right. Until next time, Alan.